570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. David Vassay with us on AM570 LA Sports. Before we get back to more of your calls, Dave, do you have some news on the baseball negotiations?
I do, Fred. I just got a text from a very reliable source. All of them reliable, but this one goes back a while. And he texts me that the owners have counterproposed the number of games to be played, and it is significantly less than the original 82 that the owners proposed. Remember, the players over the weekend counter-proposed with over 100 games because that would lessen the prorated salaries that they had agreed upon. So the owners are coming back with less than 80, and from what I'm hearing, it may be in the 40s.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would definitely make it.
Oh God!
Basically, the owners are saying, you know what, you guys were very extreme with yours. Here I go with mine. I don't want to put any conjecture into this, but from what I understand, the owners are proposing even less regular season games, and that would obviously drain the pot on the prorated salaries.
What a joke! Honestly, what a joke. Okay, you want 144? Fine, we say 40. Okay, so what are we going to end up at? 82, right? I mean, so they end up where they started. I mean, come on.
It's going to be all over as far as the details of this, and I guess I broke my own rule where I shouldn't be talking about this publicly as far as being a tool for negotiations publicly, but I'm just reporting what I found out, and you can't be surprised, Fred. The owners we saw over the weekend from some of the national reporters out there felt like it was astonishing what the players counter-proposed. And so they're coming back with a very astonishing counter-proposal of their own. They're not going to allow the players to... They were shocked that the players basically said, not only are we not going to take that pay cut on top of the prorated salary, but also, we want to make more money, and we are going to charge you interest if you want to defer any of our salaries. So that's where the owners are coming from. They're on opposite ends of the spectrum of what the other side feels is fair, and hopefully by the end of this week or whenever, they can work it out. But I guess that'll be the first and last time I try to do that.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. What a jump in, Dave. No, that. Listen, I think it's important you shared that. And it just shows the absurdity of the whole thing.
Right. It's so absurd. I mean, come on. It's not the one thing I can't, I'm surprised that nobody else can get their head around is this is not a collective bargaining agreement negotiation.
Correct.
And the other sports, they're in a better position for a number of different reasons. They do have labor peace. Their CBA is not coming to expire at the end of next year. They have more trust between the commissioner and the players' union. But also, these sports played their entire regular season. So LeBron James already has his full salary, basically. So they don't have as much to argue about when it comes to that. The baseball players have not played a regular season game yet, so their regular season salary is still on the line. Maybe it would be different if the NBA was in the baseball player's shoes, but I don't believe so because Adam Silver has done such a great job of bridging that relationship between his office and the players.
All right. Our number is 866-987-2570, and you're on hold. We're going to get you on. We were talking about what's happened over the past 3 days in Southern California and across the country. And we had a caller last hour, I believe Mark, said he was part of the protests in both Santa Monica and I believe Long Beach. You can weigh in and give us your thoughts on what is happening. Rodney was impassioned in hour one, as was Kevin, and that will be up on the podcast soon on the iHeartRadio app. We invite you to listen to that because it was terrific. Okay, let's go Art in Whittier. Art, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, as far as the police, I know that, you know, everybody says that the majority of the cops are good, and I kind of believe that. But, see, that's where they need to take advantage of that. The majority of the good cops need to step up and weed out the bad ones, because they don't have to worry about retaliation, because they're the majority. They don't have to worry about anything. They need to do that, step up and do that right away. And as far as the protesters, you know, that like you said, you know, the looter, all that, that gets more attention because it's something considered more dangerous, more violent. And you know what? Don Henley said it best. You know, we all know that crap is king. Simple as that. You guys have a good day.
Appreciate it, Art. 866-987-2570. Mark and Murrieta, thanks for holding. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm a 58-year-old white guy, native Southern California. And I was listening to the remarks by Rodney at the beginning of this show, and he couldn't have said it any better. I am completely down with what he has to say. And we don't have – I'm also a UCLA fan, grew up a long time, UCLA fan. So we don't really have a lot in common, Rodney, but
– I will hold that.
You're going to be a president. Yeah, thanks. But you're going to be the president of the United States someday, and I want to work in your office. Now, that may be some time, and I may be about 80 years old when it happens, but I'm going to come to you and ask for a job. And I think your vice president is probably going to be Rob Parker, because that guy, he has it down as well.
All right, I think you're crossing a line. I don't think Rob will be vice president.
Well, if he is, I know my life is safe.
Well, where does Fred fit in?
I'll be
press
chief
secretary?
Of staff. I'll be chief of staff. Yeah. I'll be press secretary.
Right. I'm the host of Curling.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Let's go. Solomon and Lake Balboa. Go ahead, Solomon.
Yeah. Hi, guys. It's interesting. You know, I wrote a letter to the Times today. I said, bad cops versus violent protesters, the exception, not the rule. And I asked in the letter for people not to start to paint broad strokes of entire groups of people. And if I can, you know, elucidate on that a little bit, if that's the right word, sorry, a little nervous. You know, there are not millions, hundreds of millions of police interactions across our country every day. Thank God that most cops are good and they don't result in this abominable murder of an innocent victim, you know, in Minneapolis. Okay? So that's still the exception, not the rule. There shouldn't be any, just like Dave said, totally unacceptable, and this is something we need to work towards. On the other hand, on the other side of the fence, there are absolutely justified peaceful protesters that are angry, frustrated about inequities in our justice system and in our country, absolutely have a right to protest. That's the majority. Now, looters, violent, you know, thugs that use this as an excuse to do their damage in society. Again, it's not the majority. So let's just be careful of painting a broad brush and start, you know, to stereotype whole groups of people because there's been this, you know, god-awful, unfortunate situation in Minneapolis.
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Brought to you by our buddy Jacob and Ronnie. You find yourself in trouble, you're in an accident, you slip and fall, you hurt yourself, one guy to call Jacob and Ronnie, 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie, call Jacob.
So we had Rob Parker on the show earlier today. His most recent column at Deadspin, he talked about the fact that, you know, a lot of black quarterbacks have not been speaking out loudly enough when it came to this tragedy and all the protests and unrest that has happened this past weekend. Richard Sherman did an interview with SI, and he's actually impressed that a lot of the white quarterbacks have been speaking up, talking about Carson Wentz and Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill have all spoken out openly. Even Trevor Lawrence, still in college, Joe Burrow have all spoken out. He says Richard Sherman says those voices carry a lot more weight than black quarterbacks because we as black people have been talking about this forever. But when it's big time white celebrities, big time white quarterbacks, it carries a lot more weight.
Look, anybody that has a platform, if they choose to, they're not required to, if they choose to speak out, it's only going to help. Now, by the way, Joe Burrow, for example, spoke out, and then he was attacked by people on social media for doing so. What do you know? You just got here. I don't think it's a question of Joe Burrow, the quarterback.
He's been on this earth for a while.
Yeah, I think it's Joe Burrow, the human being. And that's, and that's, if people are speaking, then there was a conversation. And maybe in some way that enacts change. It's a good thing if anybody speaks out, if they feel strongly about it, Rodney.
Yeah, it's great. You know, as you see, what made the marches, you know, more protest and the protests more powerful is that you saw a lot of white people in the crowds. A lot of protesters were white. I mean, that scene, and I don't know if you saw the scene in Colorado where people were laying down and, you know, and for 9 minutes said, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." It was powerful. There were people, as you mentioned, Dave, marching through the streets of L.A. that were peaceful in Santa Monica and downtown L.A. and things of that nature. It was a rainbow coalition. So it is powerful. But yes, until that happens, you know, people will look like, oh, well, it's just another minority group, you know, wanting something. Oh, it's just, and kind of push it to the side. And white leaders and white people with platform have to really stand up. That's why, I mean, I even commend Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish for really coming out hard, not just putting lip service to it, but really, really getting involved with it. And so, yeah, need that. So I feel the same way Richard Sherman does, you know. But I would say this too: you go on, you know, Russell Wilson's page and even Lamar Jackson's page, you'll see, you know several references to what's going on. I don't want to paint them all with that same brush.
Yeah, and I think another part of this too is a lot of times we focus on this cause for a couple of days, a week, 10 days, and then all of a sudden we move on, especially with the news cycle the way it is. So I'm not holding out judgment on anybody, because hopefully they continue the narrative moving forward until there is some tangible change.
I don't know if you guys saw this. There was a USC ticket holder, season seat holder to football. She's an attorney. Her name is Marla Brown, and she got a lot of scorn from many people. This was actually put on the radar by Michael Pittman Jr., who was drafted by the Colts a couple of months ago. And she said anybody that was out there protesting George Floyd's murder should, quote, be shot. And USC actually responded very swiftly. Mike Bone went on Twitter and denounced it. The school denounced it. And the school actually revoked her season tickets and her membership as a booster.
She
well,
was,
that's good.
She's a booster, yep. And decided anybody that – and she's an attorney?
She's an attorney.
And said anybody that does this should be shot?
Anyone that protests should be shot.
What
not looting, not rioting, yeah. But protesting?
Protesting.
I mean, not either one is not right, but right. I mean, just saying. She even said protesting.
I mean, I guess if you wanted to try to give her the benefit of the doubt, which you can't, and said, well, maybe she meant destroying businesses, but they shouldn't be shot. Wow. What kind of law does Marla Brown practice?
Good question.
That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, but Fred, you know, the problem is that there's a lot of Marla Browns out there. That's the issue.
And, you said it, Rodney.
Yeah, and what's the culture that we live in right now has given the Marla Browns of the world free reign to go say something like that, that it's okay. And a lot of people will applaud her for what she said. That's the unfortunate part about where we are and relations today in our country.
Yeah, her exact tweet, shoot the protesters.
Oh, boy.
That was her exact quote. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm glad I'm not, you know, my school, my alma mater, you know, did the right thing, because I, you know, I hated to have to call them out for not doing anything about it.
Well, the other thing is, and again, I don't know enough about this, the State Bar of California, if they have a member of the bar go out and say you should shoot people if they protest, what happens to her law license?
Yeah.
I mean, can you do that?
And if she works for a firm, what does a firm do? You know? Firm, she got to go, right?
Wouldn't you think? I mean,
that lady in Central Park, they acted swiftly on her.
Yeah.
They got rid of her in a heartbeat.
Her profile, by the way, and her photo is, she's taking a photo with an African-American USC player, football player. I don't know exactly who it is.
Jeez.
But it says, LAPD union attorney, public sector labor and employment attorney, USC wow. alum and football booster, fan of USC.
Okay, LAPD union attorney. So she, oh, yeah. All right. So now you know why, because yeah. she believes her, the people she represents are now in danger, right? Yeah. I mean, know this as well. And maybe it's something, Rodney, you have felt your whole life. And Kevin has felt his whole life. And many people have felt their entire life. The police now feel what that's like. Because now when they go out there into these situations and they don't know what's going to happen, they can now, at least from a fear standpoint of not knowing what's going to happen, feel as if you did or have. Because they don't know. They have no idea what's going to happen. You go into a crowd like that where anything could happen, I got to tell you, those guys are probably a little concerned.
I'm sure they have fear on an everyday basis too, Fred, depending on what they encounter. So I think that's part of it. And I think fear causes a lot of bad judgment as well.
And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great. 70.
LA Sports. LA Sports.
Rodney P. Fred Rogan. Dave Bassett still with us? He gone.
He's gone.
No, Dave.
But we want to thank Dave.
We want to thank Dave for joining us.
And, yes. And I'll say this, Dave was right. You know, we came on with that little tidbit at the top of the hour, talking about how there's a new proposal that the owners have given to the players. Dave was ahead of Jeff Passan. Here's what they're doing. Dave nailed it, by the way. Here's what they're going to do. So the owners are saying, oh, you want to get paid your whole salary? Okay. We know how to do this. Our new proposal is you're going to play less games. Then we'll pay you your whole salary. And Dave suggested that the owners came back with, we'll have a 40-game season. There you go. You want to get paid for every game you play? Well, that's what we'll do. We'll just play 40 games, which, of course, is not going to happen. That's the absurdity of all of this. There's no way they're going to play a 40-game baseball season. This is a waste of time. Grow up and get it together.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not going down the road we, you know, fans are hoping this goes down. This is getting petty, Fred.
It's petty, Rodney. Yeah. I mean, look, we're in the middle of a pandemic.
40 games. Come on.
And now we have unrest in the country. And you're suggesting we can fix this. Just play 40 games. We'll pay your whole salary. What? Who are they negotiating with? Five-year-olds? Do they think this is kindergarten? That's going to work? I mean, what?
Yeah.
Waste of time. Okay, but this man is not a waste of time. He's a friend of ours. We've known him a long time. He is a former general manager of the Dodgers. Our buddy Fred Clare is going to join the show. Fred, thanks for being here.
Fred, great to be with you and Rodney.
Okay, so you finally did it. You wrote this book. It's about time. We've been waiting for it, Fred. We've been waiting for the inside, the stories, what you've been through, extra innings. Why'd you write it?
I wrote it because I wanted to shine a light on the greatest team that I've ever had the pleasure and the honor to be associated with. And that team is the City of Hope and its amazing doctors and staff and people and philosophy. And so this is a book that I think the author, Tim Madigan, does a wonderful job in really telling the story of the City of Hope, of the doctors, and the fellow patients, the stories of my friendship with the wonderful Kevin Towers, who lost his life to cancer, to a high school baseball coach who passed away due to lung cancer. We shared the same oncologist, to a young high school pitcher, a two-time leukemia survivor. Those are the stories that I wanted to be a part of helping to tell. So that was the reason for the book. And most importantly, all of the proceeds from the book, Extra Innings, go to City of Hope.
Yeah, it's an incredible story, Fred. And I know a lot of people, when they hear your name, they automatically associate you with the Dodgers, the guy who built that championship team in 88. But your journey and your life is much more than that. And as you mentioned, the most incredible team you've been around, the City of Hope. Talk about the role they played in your life when you discovered you had cancer, and take us through that journey a little bit.
Well, I will give a quick tour. It started, and one of the reasons I went public when cancer hit me was to give a warning to others about the dangers of the sun. Because, Rodney, it started in a very innocent fashion. In 2015, a small spot on my lip, I had the Mohs procedure. Many people are familiar with. A very acknowledged doctor did the Mohs procedure, took a couple of swipes, said, "We've got it. The margins are clear." Literally said or assured me, you have no problem here. In the summer of 2016, the margins hadn't been cleared. The cancer, squamous cell carcinoma, had moved from my lip and was now in my jawbone and headed north. So in 2016, they did the operation to cut my throat, remove the cancer from the jawbone. I went through 33 radiation, 7 chemos. In 2017, it looks like I was on the road to recover, and the cancer, which is an ever-present opponent, returned in my neck. They couldn't operate again. They couldn't give chemo again. They couldn't give radiation again. So it was immunotherapy that saved me. And I was doing fine. As you well know, we spent time together at a couple of our golf tournaments to raise money for the City of Hope. And then just a year ago, the treatment that I had undergone, the radiation, the treatment, it was discovered, and I could feel it clearly. My jawbone had disintegrated. And so July 31 of last year, not quite a year, three doctors, 8 hours at City of Hope, removed the fibula bone from my left leg and placed it in my jawbone. And so that is the miracle of the City of Hope and science. And I said to friends, it's not the first time that I put my foot in my mouth, but this really wasn't what I intended to do.
All right, Fred Claridge with us. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570, LA Sports. The book again, Extra Innings. Fred, what do you think about what's going on right now in society with the unrest and turmoil?
Well, terribly, terribly concerned. I mean, concerned on so many levels, concerned about the knowing the challenges of a great health challenge and the virus, the battle that we're going through, and now the unrest. I really, it's so tough to try to keep a steady mind in all of this and to try to make use of what it is that each and every one of us can do in times of trying to be helpful. So just such a challenging time. But it comes back, Fred and Rodney, to the words that, as you know, that we used on our Celebration of Life Award at our golf tournaments. And the words were those of Jackie Robinson, who said, a life is not important except on the impact it has on other lives. And I think those are the words, when I think about it, that I try to use, how each of us, in whatever way we can, what we can do to come together and be helpful to others. So those are my thoughts in a very challenging time.
Yeah, you know, obviously great thoughts. And I just want to, you know, mention, because you're, you know, obviously part of the Dodgers, an organization that broke that color barrier with Jackie Robinson, as you just mentioned, in a time where it was extremely uncomfortable to do so. But the organization felt that it was time, felt that people needed to feel uncomfortable. Do you think that over time and where we are now, it's kind of that feeling now that people are feeling uncomfortable about the racial divides, and maybe that's a good thing?
I think to some extent, Rodney, it is, because what was it with Jackie and the challenges he faced, and you're absolutely right, and the unrest and the bitterness on some part, what was it that made the difference? I'll tell you one of the key components of it that was documented in the film 42. At Crosley Field in Cincinnati, when Pee Wee Reese from Louisville, Kentucky, came over to put his arm around Jackie. and if there's anything symbolic that we need today. And I had the honor to be with Jackie at his last public appearance in 1972 when the commissioner asked him to throw out the first ball, and Jackie said he would if he had the opportunity to speak. And on that day, 1972, as we were gathered before Jackie was to throw out the first ball, a gentleman was coming up and someone whispered in Jackie's ear, "Jackie, it's Pee-wee," because his vision at that time, due to diabetes, didn't enable him to see Pee-wee until it was 3 feet in front of him. So what is it we need to do? What is it we need to learn from? How did we survive? How did we come through in a better fashion? And you know what the answer was, and Pee-wee and Jackie exemplify it. That's why they're bigger than sports, by coming together.
Fred Claire with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570, LA Sports. Fred, let's get into some stories with the Dodgers. As I think back with the successes you had there, I think one of the toughest days for you is when you were basically forced to trade Mike Piazza. Can you tell that story?
Well, I wasn't forced to trade it. They did it without me. So,
well, that makes it worse.
So that makes it much worse. And that day in 1998, when I received a call from Bob Graziano, Fox owned the team, as you will recall. Fox, as you well know, was in the television business. Fox was trying to get television rights in Florida for a regional sports network. The Marlins were felt that they were strapped. They couldn't make a deal because they had these huge salaries for Gary Sheffield and Bobby Bonilla. So I received a call saying that there was a trade that has been made and you need to announce it. And I said to Bob Graziano, well, then there will be two announcements, because after I announce the trade, I'll announce my resignation, because you don't need me, because this is not the way you run a baseball team. And as it turned out, as history has recorded, the trade couldn't be made because Gary had a no-trade contract. So I wasn't going to leave in that situation. But it was a terrible time for the Dodgers. It was a terrible time for baseball, because Mike Piazza should have been a Dodger for his career. So it was a tough time. But when basically the Fox people said that, Fred, you need to say that you made this trade, I said, you've got the wrong guy. It's not as if I haven't made a bad trade, but if you think that I'm going to go before the public and the media and lie, you got the wrong guy on your team. So, all of that being said, look, things happen in sports. I had the opportunity to serve the Dodgers for 30 wonderful years and treasure every day and every memory. And the Dodgers that I know, with Tommy and Oral and Kirk, and thinking about Jackie and Pee-wee and friends today and Tommy Davis and so many, Lou Johnson, those are my memories, Fred, of the great times with the Dodgers.
All right, you talk about memories. We'd like you to give us the one moment, the highlight in your years with the team, and then, aside from the story you just told us, what was the darkest moment, the most difficult thing to deal with?
Well, the highlight certainly has to be the World Championship, clearly, of 1988, because we had finished as a team 16 games under 500 in 1986 and 1987. So that collection of athletes, of people, of the full team, to come together out of two difficult seasons, and keeping in mind what had transpired with the unfortunate words of Al Campanis that led to Al being forced to resign. So that was, the championship was the brightest moment, because it had come out of the darkest moment. And I think, and I guess I don't normally draw this conclusion, but certainly a very difficult period of time in my career. What was the ending of Al's career? Because he was trying, I believe, to defend the sport of baseball where there was no defense. So the darkest, a dark moment in Dodger history, and a wonderful moment in Dodger history. Strangely enough, we're linked together, and maybe that can be symbolic, as Rodney alluded to, of where we are today. Can we use that? I mean, that seems so simple and simplistic, I know, to many. But can we use our darkest moments to come out into our greatest moments? And as one, I think we can, because my competitive nature, my human spirit says, yes, we have that ability. We are better than this. We are better than this, and we need to be better than this, and we will be better than this.
Yeah, no, I believe so, and this feels different. It feels, the movement feels different, and it feels inclusive with all types of people. Now, obviously, there are a few crazies out there taking advantage, but for the most part, I think it's a come-together moment for the country and the world. Hey, listen, I want to ask you about a couple guys, because we could do probably a full show on these two guys and have sound bites of Vince Scully. We played this during this pandemic. We played, you know, old games that Ben has called, and we've had Tommy Lasorda sound bites, which we could probably have a whole show on just his post-game interviews, which is unbelievable. I could listen to them all the time. Your experience with both those guys, both those legends, talk about that a little bit.
Well, two dear friends, and you know, when you talk about Vinny as the icon of L.A. sports history, and deservedly so, the human spirit of Vinny, the kindness that came through, and it's been so wonderful to see that acknowledged. And who he is, and who he is as a person. And many people would ask me, is Vinny as good as he seems? And I would always say, no, he's so much better than that. And Tommy, and I think the spirit and the caring and wanting to bring people together, wanting to bring teams together. I just feel so blessed that I've known both of these friends and stay in touch on a regular basis for more than a half century. So I'm so proud to be a part of an organization that they have represented so well, and to see the status and the iconic level that they have deservedly reached.
Fred Clare with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred, before we let you go, as the players and owners try to figure out how they can get back, what do you make of the situation? I think people just want baseball, but now it's a negotiation. Reports some owners don't want to play because they'll actually lose less money if they don't play. What do you think of all this?
I think this. I think that if I was involved or I had a voice in Major League Baseball, which I no longer do, the thing I would say to the players first and all the people involved with the games, look, we're not going to talk money until we come together and we know that you, the players, and others are comfortable and feel safe in going on that field. So that's going to be the first issue. And I don't want to talk about one single dollar until we agree, because that is the most important. You have to show the people involved that you care about them as people and their health. The second part of it, it would be totally ridiculous. It would be terrible, and it would be a grave mistake to not reach an agreement once you've reached the agreement that you feel that, yes, we have the precautions to go play. I in my 30 years with the Dodgers, I was involved in 7 labor stoppages. None of them proved beneficial. And the last one was in 1994 when we lost the World Series. So there needs to be, I can remember Walter O'Malley once being asked after Sandy's career was over, what would Sandy make today, Mr. O'Malley? And Walter spun that cigar and he said, he would be my partner. And this is exactly the answer to the financial position. You don't over-negotiate this. You come back together on that field for the fans and for the good of the game. and whatever the negotiation involves, you can cast it aside as a one of a kind, because we will never, hopefully, ever be in this situation again. So it is absolutely critical that baseball come together, the players and the owners, and the fans have something to turn their eyes to other than what we're watching hour after hour and day after day.
Fred, great stuff today. We appreciate you coming on. Good luck with the book, and it's always good to talk to you.
Can I add one footnote?
Sure.
The book is available on Mascot Books. You can go to Mascot Books, and if you put in the little coupon, Friend of Fred, you'll get a 20% discount. And anyone who supports the book with all proceeds going to City Hope is definitely a friend of Fred. And you can also order on Amazon Books. So when you buy the book, you're really helping the City of Hope, and that's my goal. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to say that.
It is our pleasure to have you on today. Good job, Fred. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Fred. There goes our buddy, Fred Clare. Petros and Money getting ready to go at the top of the hour.